Farm to Table, we know how confusing healthcare is. We're here to simplify the healing process. We believe that healthcare should be simple. It should help people feel better. That's why we started the Table Talk podcast, to gather around the table with you, no matter where you are. We want to come and learn together and discuss a new healthcare approach that addresses the root cause of your symptoms. The journey for each person is unique, but together we can thrive. All right. So welcome to tonight's Table Talk podcast. And we are talking about environmental toxins. So this is a topic that comes up so much in health. Our first phase of helping people get well, whether we're doing that with a gut approach or other types of approaches, oftentimes is looking at what can we remove that's triggering inflammation or might not be serving someone. And so that's really where this detoxification discussion comes into play and environmental toxins. So tonight I am joined by two of our Farm to Table pharmacists. We have Stevie, as she goes by, Snow, and also Jessica Orlowski. And Jessica's in Pennsylvania, and she's been on the, I think they've both been on the podcast before. And Stevie is out in Idaho, but licensed in many of the states that we care for patients across the country. I'll give them a chance to introduce themselves and then we'll get started. So Stevie, anything you want to say about your passions or what your favorite part about helping people with functional medicine is?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Melody. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, great. I am very passionate about clean living and about finding simple ways to improve the quality of our health so that our health span and lifespan are equal. So that we are, you know, sometimes you ask people, how long do you want to live? And they're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to be 80 because I see people in their 80s and they're decrepit and they're miserable. But if in our 80s and our hundreds, we could feel as good as we do right now, pain-free, energetic, engaged in life, surrounded by people we love, and having just a valuable life, then I say, this is how you do it. You remove toxins from your life is major. And it is possible to live pain-free, get sick on 101th birthday, and die the next day. That's how it was meant to happen. So that's my passion, helping people be healthy through their entire lifespan.
Yes, that's awesome. I think about that when I call patients for hospital follow-ups at the family medicine office. I'm like surprised sometimes when the 85-year-old, 90-year-old people are like, hey, how's it going? Like on the other end, like they're not confused and not having trouble understanding what I'm saying, or they sound like they're 60 on the phone. So it's interesting, even in like verbal conversations, how you can sort of assess someone's like health and acuity, I guess, of their mind. So awesome. Well, Jessica, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yes, I can't say mine will be as empowering as I am a pharmacist in Pennsylvania. I co-own a pharmacy here, and I'm super passionate about like women's health, fertility, where toxins play a big part in fertility health. But working in a community pharmacy, I see all aspects that functional medicine has helped people, whether it's gut health, thyroid. Right now, I seem to be getting a ton of prostate patients, and it's just, you know, just constantly keeping me learning. And I'm amazed at how functional medicine has helped so many people.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've seen that creep up too a lot. So we're going to have to do another podcast on healthy prostates. Even though most of the listeners are probably women, they're going to be able to help their men in their households.
Yeah. And most of the questions are actually coming from the wives. Like my right. husband won't ask, or my husband wanted me to ask.
Yes, for sure. All right. So getting back to the topic at hand today, we're talking about environmental toxins, and environmental toxins are really defined as substances, whether they're naturally occurring or human made, that really negatively affect our health. So one of those toxin categories or classes of toxins we often refer to are called endocrine disrupting chemicals, and those can be abbreviated EDC. And basically what happens when we say endocrine disrupting, that means they disrupt the hormones and they mimic our normal hormones in our body, and they can interfere with production, secretion, or the transportation of certain nutrients, the metabolism of hormones like estrogens that can, if we don't metabolize correctly, can cause damage to our body. And so there's lots of different ways that they can interfere. And so there's a large number of those that are now also classified as obesity. obesogens. And that's really due to the suspected role in promoting weight gain. So if we think about our society and where we are with the obesity, we have 1 in 10 patients, possibly even more than 1 in 10 patients with diabetes. This is a global crisis in a way. I know even through the global pandemic of the infection scene that patients with obesity and patients that have high blood pressure or diabetes were more likely to be affected by this virus because how much that affects our immune system and inflammation things. So there's just a lot of peeling back of things that we need to do. Really in obesity, there's not one cause, but environmental toxins on top of genetic susceptibility, on top of a gut microbiome lack of diversity, on top of a diet that is not fiber filled and not filled with phytonutrients, like it just starts to build up. And so the one piece of that one layer that we're talking about tonight is the obesogens or those endocrine disrupting chemicals or those environmental toxins. So they can promote obesity or weight gain by inducing fat cells or telling the body to store fat cells. There's so many of them. There's parabens, DDT, we've got cadmium, there's persistent organic pollutants. Sometimes BPA falls into this category. So we know lots about BPA and it's in the receipts that we touch. So if you can say no to the receipt, sometimes you need them for business. Sometimes I want to be like, can you hold that up? I take a picture of that and you throw it away. But I don't. I take it, you know, wash my hands as much as I can afterwards. But we want to try to avoid them and decrease our exposure. One of the challenges is when we took BPA out of a lot of the things, there's other plastic sizers and other things going into the products that we don't have as much data on. Hopefully it's better, but I think the jury's a little bit still out on that. I think the challenge with this is these pollutants and things can sometimes start generations back and can affect the next generation and their fertility or even their quality of the egg and the sperm. And some of these things get passed on for generations. And so we really have to stop and not, we're never going to completely rid our body. We talk about this a lot in our 14-day reset, which we just had our 14-day reset for the spring. So if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, I want to get rid of toxins in my body after we're done with this conversation, you can definitely still work with one of our providers in that fashion and be able to support this, or you can join our next reset in the fall. But I think a lot of this chronic disease, you know, the extra toxins, there's certain toxins are related to diabetes, especially some of these pesticides and insulin resistance, some even chemicals that people are consuming in drinks. There's been data recently about diet sodas and some of the actual compound with it, sucralose and aspartame, and the data that they have that they induce insulin resistance, they impact the microbiome changes and they can potentially cause cancer. So those are things that are generally recognized as safe in our FDA world, is, you know, how we make food products safe. So those are some of the big ones. Did I miss anything, ladies, as far as big pollutants? I guess we could define them a little bit better as far as the volatile organic compounds. So this is like gasoline, fragrance ingredients, and then the toxic elements that are just in our environment, lead, mercury, arsenic, cadmium. Those things can be in pipes still from old houses. They can be in soil, especially if we think about areas where batteries might have been like dumped, landfills, like water might be contaminated with some of these things. Arsenic is in so much of the soil that rice tends to be pretty high in arsenic because of the way that rice is grown and other grains for that matter, but rice tends to be a high one. So for a lot of us that are gluten-free and incorporating more rice products into our diet, that can be something that we need to watch out for. And then the persistent organic pollutants are really a large group of chemicals that we often see as like herbicides, can be in like antimicrobial products like triclosan, carbonated biphenyls, flame retardant type products. So if you think about car seats and firefighters wearing their gear into a home, like that can definitely affect them and basically sometimes affect the thyroid because bromine looks like iodine and other chemical structures can have pieces of things that are very similar to what our body uses to create hormones and to create certain reactions. And so when it comes in, it sort of blocks that reaction from happening appropriately or can induce different cell growth, which can lead to different types of cancer. Other anti-wrinkle things, non-stick compounds, lots of different things there. So why don't one of you guys tell us sort of where these things come from? So what are our biggest sources? I think we talked about some of these, but any that we missed?
Well, I think that you covered the big ones. Clean water is very important.
Yes.
And it's a great idea to use a filter. There are a couple of filters that are available, and the environmental Working Group has a terrific spot on their website for how to pick a filter and find one that's in your budget.
Yes.
Either a carbon filter or a reverse osmosis filter. Mm-hmm. And that's very important that if you're using a filter on your refrigerator and that's a carbon filter, that you're changing it pretty regularly. It actually can be the reverse of healthy. If you are not changing it, it doesn't have a warning light for you when it is over full. Water pressure could actually force more toxins into that last glass of water. Mm-hmm. By everything that it had stored, and now it's overloaded and it's even worse than it was before. So important to watch out for changing out your filters appropriately.
Yes. Yes. That's really good. There's things called, it's called like the Berkey, I think, that also has, or you don't promote that. What do you think about the Berkey?
I'm not a big fan of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Not only are they very expensive, but I feel that it's slow. I really am a fan of reverse osmosis.
Yes.
Exactly right. There's an undermounted unit. You don't have to look at it. Mm-hmm. You can get a wall unit for like $480. My plumber was going to put one in my house, but I have a countertop unit that is working great. And so we just are going to use that till it dies. And I just replace those filters pretty regularly. And I can do a cleanup on it with the descaling is very important on that.
That's awesome. We have had reverse osmosis for years as well through a company called Rainsoft that I think got acquired by someone else, but you can still, I think, get the products, but there's some similar companies out there. But the one thing about reverse osmosis is it does remove some of the electrolytes and minerals. You can easily get electrolyte drops. If you're eating enough like natural salts and things on your food, you may not even notice much of the difference. Or if you're drinking beverages that also have electrolytes as well. So it really just depends on how much you're getting from other things and you're eating, if you need to supplement with that in your water.
Absolutely. And I would really recommend listeners go to the EWG website, punch in their zip code and look at what contaminants are in their municipality's water, and then scroll down, because they actually have already broken it down. What contaminants are going to get removed by which type of filter, so
that's
they can
awesome.
Make the best choice for themselves.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I will say, like, I probably need to do a better job about filling up like 2 water bottles before I go to work, because I fill up my water bottle and I drink that whole thing. And then we've got like a water cooler. It is filtered water, but it's in the big plastic cooler that you get out of the rest of the day. So that's probably not great based on what we're teaching. So this is a good reminder to me to take lots of bottles of water in the day, especially if I'm gone for a whole 8 hours or so. We talked about water. Let's talk about lawn care products. I know, like, suburbia in the United States, everyone wants their lawn to look green and pretty. So there's that. And I will say there's organic companies, which might be better than some of the non-organic companies, but I think we still have to be careful even with some of those. So anyone have an opinion on best ways to support the beautiful grass without being toxic to your health?
When you start looking into kind of like limiting toxins in your life and things like that, it can be very overwhelming.
Yes, for sure.
I've seen a few people get like mini anxiety attacks because they live in a golf course and they're like,
yes,
oh my gosh,
yes.
Like, they can control how the golf course is treating everything. Like, you can control your yard, but you can't control everyone else around you.
Yes.
So then it's like, do I open my windows? Do I not open my windows?
Yeah. I feel that too. Like, walking down the sidewalk, other people got there, and I use like one of the organic companies, so I'm maybe at fault too, but the other people, it's like, oh, I'm stepping on these things and then I'm going to trace them back into my house. Just like by walking by the sidewalk. So taking off your shoes at the front of your house can be also a great tip to try to not bring those in, not letting people walk on carpets with shoes. I need a big old sign. Normally I'm like the Nazi at the door, like, hey, take your shoes off. Thanks.
Like a pair of house shoes or house slippers.
Yes.
And one thing too that I always try to keep in mind is, I know we're going to talk a little later about reducing exposures and things we can do, but if you have little kids, remember that like their bodies are so much smaller.
For
and
sure.
If you think of the toxins that you're exposed to, like their bodies are exposed to like tenfold.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do get your yard treated, I try to not let my kids in the yard for a couple of days.
Yes.
Because they're going to roll around and pick toys up. And so that's one thing with the lawn to just give me a little peace of mind is I don't let the kids out there.
Yes. That's a great tip. along with that, like pest control things, I know like no one wants to live in a house like ants all over the place. So like sometimes like you do need to use certain chemicals, not to say that you're never going to use those, but try to like, if they can only spray on the outside of the house instead of the inside of the house. And there might be other ways to limit those exposures too, and make sure, you know, what products they're using in your home. But I know as we go further south, the bugs increase. So it's definitely a challenge. If we talked a little bit about food additives, what now?
I was going to say, we sell a ton of peppermint oil
yes.
at pharmacy, and yes. people put cotton balls of peppermint oil along the outside of their garage doors.
That's a good idea. I've been semi-successful with the peppermint oil, not completely though.
Right. And then there's that WWGD, what would grandma do?
Yes.
You know, what did grandmother do when she had bugs? And let's do that rather than what DuPont would do.
Right. Yes, for sure. And then cigarette smoke is a huge one. We know that it causes lung cancer, right? And it's not illegal. So it's still something that's happening. Thankfully, as the last 2 decades have happened, we're not having to be exposed in public places as much. So there's been restaurants or a lot of states, you can't smoke inside unless you're in a bar situation. And there's a lot of smoke-free bars too now. So if you are making the decision to do that, like maybe finding one that doesn't have it, if you can avoid it, because secondhand smoke is real. And if you're exposed enough, especially if you're on the verge of inflammation or things, that can definitely add up over time. Food additives, we talked about the Splenda and some of the chemicals in the sweet. Sweeteners, but you also have a lot of preservatives that can have effects, and then also like dyes that can happen. So I don't know if any of you wants to comment on any of those.
I think I'd like to just talk about BPA. Just
yes,
again,
go
because,
ahead.
You know, I do look for cans. So if I have mm-hmm. to buy a canned food, because it's very difficult yeah. sometimes to find everything you want, either in a dried form or a sure. frozen form. But I would encourage listeners to buy fresh and organic or frozen organic mm-hmm. fruits and vegetables. So when you have to get something in a can, I do look for a BPA-free can, but know that there's this chemical whack-a-mole that is going on. So they may have removed the BPA, but added BPS, BPF, BPM, sure. BPC, who knows? And those many of them have been found to have the same toxic profile.
Yeah.
And so just to encourage to try BPA free, and then also to get as many things fresh or frozen as you can.
Yeah. Some of the companies are actually starting to sell things in glass again. So there's like tomatoes like that. You can buy this one brand of strained tomatoes from Thrive Market, which we can link below, and other sources. If it's not local to your grocery store, if you're not within a good radius to Whole Foods, Thrive Market's got you. That's another option too, is using glass products. And I realize it's maybe not the most economical from a cost standpoint, but sometimes those companies can help get things a little bit more economical if you buy in bulk. But that's one option to look for too. I haven't seen as much of that at like general grocery stores, but definitely at Whole Foods and places like that, there's been more of that coming back.
Right. And then, so I think a good tip to remember is like, even when you do fill up your water bottle at home, Melody, you're using what, stainless or glass?
Yes. Yes.
And does it have a plastic lid that you're drinking through, or are you drinking right out of the stainless or the glass?
So it depends on if I take the lid off. Like, I bought you guys some awesome shaker bottles with the farm to table on them, and the top part is plastic, but you can take it off and drink from the stainless part too. So it depends on what I grab from the cabinet, I guess. But Yeti, oftentimes if you have a Yeti bottle, no affiliation with them at all, but there's a stainless steel and the plastic part comes off and just drink straight from the bottle. I tend to spill that one all over the place because the lid is not closed. Yeah. It's like all over the desk.
Ideal, right? Yes. Let's avoid the plastic instead of like, yes. And then there's another, yeah, like, because along with buying grass-finished beef mm-hmm. and then having the butcher wrap it with cellophane.
Right,
like,
right.
Yes. No paper, please.
Yes.
Because yeah, you don't want to contaminate your beautiful food.
Sure.
Or cook it in a Teflon pan, mm-hmm. right? Teflon and the Gen X. Don't be fooled by that. That's another chemical whack-a-mole. Just rid your house of the Teflon or this, the nonstick cookware.
Yes.
Use stainless steel cookware, use a stainless steel glass. And if you're going to store food, store it in glass or stainless yeah. steel. Don't store it in plastic, and certainly don't heat your food. If it's stored in plastic, yes. don't heat in that plastic.
Yes. Yeah.
Or if you have plastic at home, and, you know, because it can be expensive to replace all of this stuff. So if you're slowly making that transition to a non-toxic home, if you are going to store your food in the plastic, just let it cool mm-hmm. and then transfer and then, it and then put it in the fridge, because like the drastic temperature changes is what pulls the
chemicals out. Yeah. Yeah. So don't heat them in plastic either, like when you're putting it in the microwave. And that's challenging sometimes at work. So if you're having to use a microwave to heat something up, so definitely invest in at least one glass container that you can pack if you're taking leftovers for lunch frequently, if you're going out of the home. And then as far as like fabrics with flame retardants, the hard part with this, I think for me, is like shopping for kids in like pajamas. Like there's some things that are like certain fabrics are just flame resistant, like naturally, and they're labeled. It's hard to tell if they're sprayed with a chemical. Like you could call and try to talk to someone at the company, but it's like a lost cause sometimes getting a hold of the information. So just cotton was a safe bet. They even have organic cotton pajamas and trying to keep those. I know for like people with girls, it's hard because you want like a flowy, like, you know, and you can't make a cotton nightgown and call it a pajama because of all the rules surrounding that. So those kinds of things, but car seats too. So car seats I mentioned are often flame retardant or have chemicals with them, whether it's in the actual what touches the child, not as much, but a lot of times what's underneath that and like this foam and different things. There are several companies and I'll try to link them in the show notes. Nuna for one, Kleck is another one, C-L-E-K, and Nuna is N-U-N-A, that have gotten rid of flame retardants. And those companies come out of Europe and they are a little bit more progressive in blocking some of these chemicals. So if I think of any more, we'll add those also to the show notes.
And then, so when you're talking about importing and exporting, I think it's very important to pay attention. Where do things do come from? Mm-hmm. Say, coming from Europe, that's generally a good idea when we're talking about environmental toxins, mm-hmm. because in the U.S., the EPA has, I think, banned 5 chemicals of the 90,000 that are used in industry right now. But Europe has banned 1,300.
Yeah.
I don't know what the statistic is in China, but I'm thinking it's not a lot. Maybe less than the U.S. Which
Who knows? Who knows?
Right. So yeah, when you're just buying things, pay attention to where they're coming from, mm-hmm. and know that anything coming from a continent or a country that is not paying a lot of attention to these toxins might easily be putting things in there that are going to, you know, ruin all your efforts.
Right. For sure. Awesome. So I think we hit on most of those except personal care products. So personal care products are a biggie. We tend to think about the food we put in our body, the water we put in our body, and not as much think about the topical things that we're putting on our body, but our skin is like one of the largest organ systems in our body. And so things absorb. We actually use the skin as a way to take medication sometimes. So if you think about, we do hormones delivered through the skin, we do other pain medicines sometimes delivered through the skin. So it's designed to absorb.
Nitroglycerin.
Yes.
Passes or pace, that works within minutes.
Right, exactly.
How good.
Exactly.
The absorbing stuff. And you know, I found out that Revlon and Maybelline, they actually put lead in their lipstick.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's the EWG. I'm going to plug them again. They have a great skin deep program. And then have you guys used the Think Dirty app
at all yet? Yes.
Yeah. So you can scan something as you're mm-hmm. shopping with the Think Dirty app and see what their rating is. And if it's, I think the lower the number, the better the product for as far as safety is concerned. Yes. And so I think that, you know, that is very low hanging fruit for us, because mm-hmm. if we're going to buy this stuff, might as well purchase something that is on the list of approved either by the EWG or Think Dirty, and avoid those other things that we're purposely applying to our body.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And like a lot of how it's broken down on the EWG or the Think Dirty is based on like, is it categorized as a carcinogen, which gives it certain points out of the score. Also like the allergenicity. So could someone be allergic to this product? So you have to, when you're looking at something, you know, if you're not someone with a history of allergies or allergic reactions, like maybe something that has a little bit of allergenicity might be okay or tolerable for you. But we really want to focus on, you know, if you're trying to make budgetary decisions, like focus on the ones that have the carcinogen potential, which means cancer causing potential. That's awesome. Think Dirty app and the Skin Deep database is a great place to start. There are lots of companies that are really taking the lead and really making cosmetics cleaner and more transparent too. Cause I don't know if you guys have ever noticed this, but you buy a jar of a face cream or something from a store and it literally has no ingredient label. It just says that this is what it is. This is what it's supposed to do. And now companies are being more transparent, putting those things on their website, putting them on the actual product. So I appreciate the companies that are really at the forefront of pushing that initiative.
Absolutely. And I think let's beware of anything that says natural.
Yes. I was going to say that. Yes.
Yeah. Natural means absolutely nothing. And fragrances is just their code word for any chemical they want to put in there or proprietary chemical. And that's where those really scary, long lasting chemicals can be hidden. Yes. So fragrance free is an easy way to avoiding a lot of
so your laundry things. And if your laundry smells all nice and fresh when it comes out of the dryer, unless you're putting essential oils on a wool dryer ball, it's probably some kind of chemical smell that you're smelling. But I, as you know, before I came to functional medicine, I would get a lot of, before I got like the detox piece going and decreasing some of this, I would get a lot of like headaches from chemicals because my liver and everything was like so congested and it was just like the sign to my body. So if you are someone that you instantly smell a chemical or someone sprays something in the office and you're like, oh my goodness, I have a headache already, that can definitely be a sign that you're really sensitive to these and maybe need to work with somebody to help reduce that. So I will say if I'm in an extended exposure to a certain fragrance, sometimes it still bothers me, but definitely not like it did before. I had one lady one time that walked into my office. I was pregnant, so my senses were heightened because of the hormone levels. But man, she had some J.Lo perfume on and it was like toxic, potent. And we were in this really small room and I think I had a migraine for like the rest of the day. So if you just think about how instant that can happen, like in what you're even absorbing in your body from breathing it in when someone else has it on and the effect that that can have on people. I don't even know how she was walking around, you know, like with this stuff on her body. So yeah, just think about those things. And there's so many great, like natural ways to smell good these days, whether it's a natural deodorant. We didn't talk about aluminum at all yet, but aluminum is another thing that's hides in like deodorant products, especially, and has been linked to certain types of cancers, specifically like breast tissue cancers. I mean, you're putting it so close to that tissue anyways. And so we definitely want to try to decrease that. The challenge being that we also don't want to smell bad, right? We want to go hang out with people and not smell bad. So, but there's some awesome things. I'll probably link the link. I love the plant therapy line of deodorants and they work fabulous and smell fabulous because they're using natural essential oils. So I'll also put that link in the show notes today.
And can I just plug a company called Bite?
Yes.
B-I-T-E. They have a toothpaste and mouthwash tablets. So you're avoiding all the plastic of the tubes.
Yeah.
And so you just chew up the tablet to brush your teeth, chew up the tablet for the mouthwash. Okay. And then they also have a deodorant that it works really great.
Okay.
And then did you know there was a big recall on a lot of aerosol perspirants and deodorants right now?
I did not.
So they were found to contain benzene and benzene was not added. It was being formed by the way that they were
chemicals were interaction. Interesting.
And these were the big companies, Axe.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it sort of smells like Ochem Lab when someone sprays that on you, right? Or near you. Poor people in dorms. You can't avoid it sometimes. Awesome. Okay. Well, that is really good. We've talked about a lot of things there as far as the places to avoid. And again, I think bringing back what Jessica said about we can't avoid everything. Sometimes this becomes overwhelming and we don't want to walk around like in a box during the day. So really just making choices that are going to serve you and your family well and deciding where you're going to start and where you're going to create your plan. And so now we're going to move into a little bit about the reason for that. So why is this a problem? So does one of you want to just review the medical conditions associated with some of these toxins?
Well, you name a disease. And
exactly. Right. Exactly.
The list is very, very long.
Right.
Yeah. Autism,
you mentioned Parkinson's, obesity,
yes,
metabolic syndrome. And about there's a study that came out that 80% of American adults have at least one marker of metabolic disease, whether that's high blood pressure, high cholesterol, high blood sugar, or a combination of the three. So 80% of American adults are on the path to metabolic disease. So I think that says a lot about our toxin exposures.
Yeah,
it really does. And, you know, we wanted to look at diabetes and sugar and say, well, we're eating a lot of sugar and that's why we have this diabetes epidemic. But, you know, we were eating a lot of sugar 100 years ago.
Those pies that grandma made. Great grandma. <Yeah. laughs>
But if you look at the curve, really, and rather than mimicking our exposure to sugar, it mimics more our release of chemicals into our environment.
For sure.
And so, and I think, Melody, that point you made about being sensitive to chemicals or getting sick very easily is a huge warning sign to be very grateful for, actually, because that's a wonderful warning sign, nausea rather than cancer.
Yes.
As your warning sign that you're overloaded with toxins and you need to take steps. And then I think it's really important to drive home today that there are so many things that we can do to not just remove our exposure, but to detox previous exposures.
Yes.
And, you know, we're glad to work with folks on that. There are things that you can do even, and you don't blame your genes either, because your genes are not your destiny.
Exactly.
You may be a poor methylator. You may have a hard time clearing toxins per your genetic, but there are many things that you can do naturally to improve your ability to detox.
Right. Yeah. So the metabolic pieces, but neurological complications have been linked with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, we've mentioned cancers, but even some of these fibromyalgia pain syndromes sometimes can be related to this toxicity element. So it's so important to, like, along your journey, figure out if this is something that's contributing to your symptoms. The only time that we don't recommend detox is if you are pregnant or if you are breastfeeding, because one of our excretion, you know, our body breaks things down into the bloodstream. When we tell the liver to do more of that, if you've got something toxic you're hanging on to, that could be more available for baby, or whether it's breast milk or when they're in utero. So we definitely think there's ways to clean up some of that stuff, but we're not going to recommend, like, heavy hitting supplement detox programs during that time. But you can certainly clean up the diet, eat the clean vegetables and fruits, and avoid the dirty dozen during that time. That would be a great thing to do. So PCOS patients, I think we've talked about PCOS. We've had podcasts about that, but those patients actually have been found to have significantly higher BPA levels compared to controls. So this can be a great example of sort of what chemicals are affecting a metabolic condition, because PCOS really is this insulin resistance type condition. And also in those patients, metabolism and excretion of BPA in particular has been impaired. So it's sort of has two sides of it there. The excretion is impaired, but we also have higher levels, which is a result of excretion being impaired. So we don't know exactly which point is causing the higher levels, if it's just the BPA is contributing to PCOS development or vice versa. We don't know the chicken before the egg, but we know there's a relationship. And then the timing of exposure, I think this is what Jessica was referring to at the beginning, that kids are so much more likely to have effects from these because they have smaller bodies and they also are in a period of growth, right? So they are actively growing, maturing, and that's really where some of these things can have impact on their growth. I can't believe how many, like, and I don't work in full out endocrinology, I'm in family medicine, but the amount of people needing, like, growth hormone or having trouble growing, not growing at the right rate in children is sort of alarming. And I don't know, I haven't compared, like, rates of how much that has increased over time, but I do think it has something to do with this and possibly stress as well, because kids are exposed to a lot more stressful, busy schedules than they were before too. But certainly there's always genetic pieces to consider.
We don't want to miss out on mentioning autism, depression and anxiety, all things that could be caused by toxicity.
It's amazing if people have children that have autism or even on what they call the spectrum, not well-versed in that necessarily, but there's a lot of people that see great improvement with helping the patient detox, eating clean, getting rid of some of those chemicals that are stimulatory to their immune system, because it really is this, like, immune activation in a way. And so those patients do really well with these processes. So we definitely have members of our team that are experts in those areas and helping patients to really live, you know, so we can't always reverse some of those conditions completely, but sometimes they can be a lot more manageable if, you know, certain things are done during the time, especially the earlier. I don't know if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but there's an amazing physician in Columbus, Ohio, Allie Carino, give her a shout out, but she's always said that the reason why she does pediatrics is because she has such power to influence the rest of their life and, like, the trajectory of their life. When she does this kind of natural, alternative, holistic, whatever you want to call it, care in the pediatric office, that can change their trajectory. So that just really speaks to what happens and how much happens in early childhood that sort of sets the stage for what happens for the rest of their life. So really important to watch those chemicals in kids too. Let's see. Anything else?
Constipation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's right.
Yeah, constipation is a huge sign, not only that you have a high toxin burden, but by relieving it, it is a way to detox the body, mm-hmm. just allowing. Yes. And so basically, I think my rule of thumb, Melody, to correct me if you have a different opinion, but it's just for every meal, you should have a bowel movement. And so if you're eating twice a day, then you should probably have two bowel movements a day. And like, because it's hard to know what's normal until you live with somebody and experience their bowel movement.
Yeah.
You don't really know what's normal, but with every meal have a bowel movement. If that's not happening, then take steps. And I prefer like vitamin C and magnesium to improve constipation symptoms.
Yes, that is great. Fibers. At least the once a day. If we can get the moving and the bowel movement in the morning, that motility happening, that's great. But twice a day would be optimal for sure.
And when Melody mentioned earlier, you mentioned Alzheimer's and Parkinson's.
Yes.
They have found that they are directly related to chronic constipation. Mm-hmm. So if you think of like holding on, if you're constipated, you're holding all those toxins in and it's impacting your brain and your nervous system in the long run.
Yeah, right. And like things are recirculating. So the blood supply that we have going to the gut, like goes back through the liver. And so if we have these things sitting in the excretion organ, it's only going to get reabsorbed and sent back to the liver. And that's really what the challenge I hear so often, like from traditional medicine providers or even some faculty that I've worked with in the past in like toxicology spaces that are like, okay, these detox programs, they're just fads. There's nothing that they're actually doing for you. Your body has a liver and has kidneys. Well, that's great. And I agree with them. Like you have a liver and kidneys and bowels for a purpose. But if those are, if we are exposed to so much extra compared to, you know, how we were designed to handle, I think that's, you know, the challenge. Is that our liver doesn't have, we use so much nutrients also in like the whole stress response. So much of our B vitamins are used up in making cortisol and adrenal things in our day to day that we're often missing those nutrients that are needed to help methylate things in the liver. And methylation is a process of getting estrogen out of your body and other, you know, things and glucuronidation. And so we're not eating nutrient dense enough to supply our bodies with the chemical, you know, the vitamins, minerals that we need to do these reactions to get things out of our body. So yes, our body was designed to do that when we were not stressed and had adequate nutrition and had soil that was great and lots of, you know, vitamins and minerals. But now in 2022, when we're exposed to, you know, X and number of times more. Yes, right. Exactly. Sweating is so important. So saunas can be a great form of detox. We'll probably talk about, I don't do that enough. I have one in the other room here, but I should go sit in it after this to like calm. You have to make sure you replace electrolytes if you are in a sauna or hot yoga type thing, but sweating is so important. So, all right, that's a good segue into how do we avoid or limit exposure? So I think we have like a list of 20 things here. Right. Yep. 20 things or 19 things. We'll probably throw in a 20th, but basically we talked about already the food piece. So as much as we can, looking at the Dirty Dozen, trying to avoid that, trying to, you know, use organic products. One of the challenges is organic products have different types of chemicals sometimes used on them. It's not a perfect system. It's really hard to grow a mass amount of strawberries without doing anything about the bugs. So we have this opportunity to take better, you know, make better choices with what we, you know, believe is better and be okay with that. We can't get down to the nitty gritty of every single thing and stress out about it. But those kinds of things, like Stevie said, a reminder about, you know, if we can do fresh or frozen, I love frozen things. One, because it takes the chopping part away. I could dump out a bag of organic frozen broccoli, put a little olive oil and garlic salt on it and throw it in the oven. And that's all I had to do to prep that. So they're really great for nights that you don't want to spend a lot of time chopping and cutting things, but also they're picked during their ripe season. And like they're versus, you know, sometimes in Ohio in the winter, we don't get a lot of fresh things from local farms. And so having those frozen things can be helpful. We talked about the canned goods things. We talked about water. We talked about non-cook. Then Stevie, you want to talk about number 5, the different codes on the plastics?
Yeah, 3, 6, and 7 are ones that are particularly dangerous to eat out of or store food in.
Okay.
So 1, 2 is fine. 5 is fine. But 3, 6, and 7 are ones that are particularly bad for leaching poisonous substances into your carefully prepared food.
Yeah. So if you're spending the time to buy organic and cook clean, don't store them in plastics that are 3, 6, or 7. Awesome. And then we talked about not microwaving food. We talked about personal care products. So ventilating the home. So we didn't really talk about this yet at all, that sometimes we have more toxins inside our home versus outside. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Right. The Clean Air Act was really great. It's one of the few government entities that actually did improve something over the last 20 years. Outdoor air actually is better than it was 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. However, indoor air is worse than ever. And that comes to having building codes after the energy crisis, building houses too tight.
Yeah.
And so if you have a clean outdoor air, if you're not living like in downtown LA or on right. a golf course,
or downtown New York
those
City,
are two times, yes, that you may not want to open your windows as up, but you generally open your house daily, open your car up mm-hmm. daily, avoid using deodorizing sprays or powders for your sure. carpeting that would just reinitiate more contaminations.
Yes. Yeah. And there is some off-gassing from even things like paints. So you can get zero VOC paint. Sometimes those aren't the greatest for like bathroom spaces because of the moisture. So you just have to decide like where, I mean, you're not spending the most of your day in the bathroom either. So you sort of have to decide like for your family, what is best. And then also like construction, like new construction, like those things are going to, this house I'm standing in is new construction. This drywall was put up this summer. So there's going to be more off-gassing from that. And so you can get filtration systems. You can get whole house filtration systems. You can also get filtration systems that are for large spaces or small spaces. So I have this is like our podcast studio. My husband spends most of the time here, but in my office space upstairs, I have a small filtration system for air because it seems to be more moist because it shares room with the laundry. So yeah, you just have to think about your spaces, how much time you're spending in each space and what you might need, but avoiding adding additional chemicals in the air is another thing. So air fresheners, plug-ins, aerosols. I was talking to someone recently and they were telling me about how they love the smell of the Bath and Body Works stuff and love their house. And I was like, please stop. Let me tell you about essential oils. Please we can stop. Make it smell good. We can make it stop. And that's a good reminder that I need to text him a link to my favorite companies. But yes, please get
you
some
talk
clean.
About off-gassing.
Yes.
And that's what the new car smell is.
Yes.
It's like everything. Yeah. It's fun and it's new and it's nice, but yes. it's toxic.
Yes,
it
for
has
sure.
It's always bothered me. I'm like, you yeah. like that smell?
Right.
Please open the window.
I know. Right. I mean, if you rent a car that someone has smoked in or something like that, scent is still in there too. So, you know, you're breathing in some of that, but yeah, I think about that too, because like car cleaning, I'm like, well, I could take my car and get it nice and fancy and detailed, but the chemicals they're using on the leather and all of these things, it's like, okay, I'm just going to have to look at a little dingy leather and just breathe nice, clean air, you know, and just deal with it. Cause, and there's other ways, like coconut oil is great on leather and some other tips that you can find online DIY things, but it takes more time than paying someone to do it for you.
And so the air filters though that are really good are the HEPA filters.
Yes.
HEPA, mm-hmm. high efficiency particulate yeah. air HEPA filter. And running one in the bedroom while you're sleeping is a really
yes.
good idea because
yes.
you do spend so much time in that room.
Yes, yes. Especially
house
if someone
plants.
Yes, houseplants. I am terrible at houseplants. Are you guys good at growing houseplants? Do you have favorites?
I'm embarrassed to admit this, but I bought a pack of air filtering houseplants on Amazon and there were six of them. And I have 4 still alive.
Okay. So 4 of 6. That's great odds.
Yeah. I think I overwatered them, but they say that for like a 10 by 12 space, like 1 6-inch plant can filter that space.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Nice. I need to check more yeah. into that and give the kids the job of going around and watering them or something. The problem is when you leave town, you got to like enlist a neighbor kid to come water your house.
Well, they only need really I only water mine once a week.
Oh, okay.
I think that's why I killed two of them.
Killed two in the beginning. Yeah, that's awesome. I have one plant in our kitchen that sits right by the kitchen faucet. So like I can remember to water it because it's right there next to the water. But I should look into that. You'll have to send me the link for that. Awesome. Okay. And then we talked a little bit about flame retardants, but this goes for couches and mattresses and other home furnishings too. If you think about the time you're spending laying on your mattress, and that's like half of your life, right? That we're sleeping. I mean, maybe not half of our life. It depends on how many hours you sleep. But a third of our life, if we're getting 8 hours of sleep, is spent laying on that mattress. So if you're going to invest into something like that is one of the things to invest in, is a quality mattress that doesn't off-gas chemicals, especially for your kids too. If you think about your kids, and I will not even tell you the amount of money I spent on the mattress for my daughter when we first were learning about some of these things. And I was like, oh my goodness, why does this cost this much? But it's like, it's an investment for their health. And luckily since then, and this was in 2016 when she was transitioning out of the crib, but since then, so many other mattress companies have started to become cleaner and bring the cost down, and there's more competition in the market, which is good. And then I won't speak to all knowing everything about mattresses. I'm sure there's some of that whole natural and space that we're getting into, sort of those marketing things that maybe aren't as nice, but definitely do your research about them.
The thing is, with furniture and things like that, California seems to be the most progressive state, like banning chemicals. And so a lot of times if California says, like, starting in 2025, we're not going to sell these products in our state, companies will actually move to, basically, they're not going to make a mattress for California and then a mattress for the rest of the country. So when you see California pass laws like that, it's actually a good thing for everybody.
Yes. Yes. Most of the time. Although on some of our supplement products, they do have the lead warning and thing. You have the California it's a lot of protein powders and things. So that's an interesting component, but they're at safe levels, but that would be something we should probably look more into and get back to people on, because why does California get, part of it's just a label, like the label of the product's not actually any different. The label is warning you about something in the product, but awesome. So obviously medications could be toxic at some levels, so these are great questions to ask your pharmacist. Like, is this medication have any potential to do harm? Or we talk a lot about nutrient depletions, which we don't have time to talk about tonight, but there could be certain medications that are depleting a nutrient that your body needs in the detoxification process. So if we think about things like birth control, depleting B vitamins, or CoQ10 being depleted from statins, like those are really essential nutrients to helping the mitochondria and the cells and all the cells in the body to function properly. So that's one of the big things. Yeah.
And then if you find that a medication was working for you previously and suddenly stops working for you, for exactly, say Wellbutrin or something, it could be that it worked great for you while you had the stores of magnesium and CoQ10. And then after you took it for a couple of years, it stopped working. Instead of increasing your dose, check with your pharmacist and see which nutrients are depleted by Wellbutrin and replace those instead of increasing your dose.
Sure. Yeah. And that's a great option for like a wellness consult with one of our pharmacists on our team too, is we can just talk specifically about that and look at your nutrient depletions and make recommendations. All right. And we have talked a lot about toxins. We're like 50 minutes, which is longer than our normal podcast shows, but we already talked about taking off your shoes. Radiation exposure is another thing. So like laptops, smartphones, trying to keep them away from chest and groin areas and some of the sensitive tissues. Sometimes I see women like putting their phone in their bra, and I just want to like cringe, because there have actually been like people that develop cancers if they're constantly putting it in that same spot, like the tumors develop right where that exposure is. So we are not in a world where we...
in the shape of a cell phone.
Yeah, right. I don't know exactly, but right where that is. So definitely try to store those away from your body. It's hard because you're at a place, you know, you want your hands free, you stick it in your pocket or you stick it in a different place, but do your best there. And then you can try to turn Wi-Fi routers off at night. And I keep telling my husband, we have to figure out how to make this happen in our house, because like our backups occur in the middle of the night. And so we got to make sure we time it where the backups to the servers like work. And then we have a break from the Wi-Fi, but you can put your cell phones on airplane mode. And if you're using something like the Aura Ring, it has an airplane setting that you can do a Wi-Fi off setting as well. So that's one of the ways to track all your health without having the big watches or other devices on. So there's lots of ways to reduce your exposure to what's called EMFs, but definitely something we can talk about maybe on another podcast in further detail. So anything else you guys want to chat about?
Nope. Well done. Good job.
Yeah. Just another nighttime tip that I heard on a functional podcast. It was run your dishwasher at night.
Yes.
So you're not like hanging out by it, or, you know, you're not in the kitchen. So if you run your dishwasher at night or when you're not home, yes, it's still emitting gases and stuff.
Yes.
But you're not sitting in it and like
We already do that unintentionally, so yay. Yeah. But there's some cleaner products you can use for the dishwasher, but I'm sure even in just the formation of chlorine from like the chlorine gas can be formed from the salts, even though it's natural, may not be great to like breathe in right in front of it. So yeah, so natural isn't always safe, especially in marketing, right? Yeah. When they say it's natural, it's fine. There's a lot of natural deadly things out there. So that's why we're trying to have this platform to help people be educated. And if you want more information, definitely we have several blog posts at farmtotable.life. So PharmTotable.life that if you /blog, or you can scroll all the way down to the bottom of the homepage and there's a link to the blog. There are several, if you type in detoxification, articles talking about what we're talking about today. And we'll also put that in the show notes as well. So thank you ladies for joining me, and look forward to our next conversation. Have a good night.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for listening. We're excited you are on your journey with us. Find us online at farmtotable.life, farm with a P, and on Instagram at farmtotableteam.